Truth is, hashkafa really means outlook, which really means the way one looks at the world, at life. And the reason why there's such a gewaldig olam over here, I quote Thomas Jefferson. People will go to any amount of effort to avoid the labor of thinking. That's the lemaisa. What hashkafa is all about is about thinking. About thinking about what life is about. And anyone who's ever stepped foot in the yeshiva and the Musa Seder has read the first chapter of Mesil Shisharim countless times. It's the first, definitely the first page, the first few paragraphs of Mesil Shisharim countless times. I don't know how much further it went. But Lamaisa, the Mesil Shisharim says something there that we all know, we almost know it by rote, but in truth, we have to internalize it. And that's really the focus of Bechlal, the focus of all of Hashkafa and understanding. What is a person, basically, what are we doing here? And the Yetzirah doesn't want us to think about what we're doing here. And we have to really figure out what we're doing on this world. We're definitely here for a reason. But the question is far, far deeper than that, in that HaKol Moedim, we all know, B'chol Ma'aminim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholem B'Taklus HaSholem. He's missing nothing. Okay. So the real question is, so why did he create the world? The understanding of all religions, until Yiddishkeit, until Avraham Avinu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, until Klal Yisrael, was that there were quote-unquote, gods that had power, and there were powers in the world. And we had to sort of placate those powers, or give something to those powers, right? There was the idea of moilech, there was the idea of sacrificing our firstborn for a god. But what can we give the god, right? The first thing a person has to understand is, and this one, Mamish wanted to give you a mikrim. And so we say it every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, Elohim Hashem is one, Hashem is complete, He's one, He's holy, He needs nothing. There is nothing we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's chaser, He needs nothing from us. So the first yisoid a person has to realize is, I'm just quoting you from the beginning, Mamish, in the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, the Mechaber, the Mesil Shasharim, Hinei HaTachlis Babriya Hoyel Lehetiv Mituva Yisbarach Shemar Lezulas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was missing really one thing. Heyoisi needs nothing, he has to be makeive to others. His purpose, the tachlis of the Bria, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be makeive to us. Better said, the purpose of this Bria is that we should enjoy. We should have tainuk. And the truth is, the best way to say it, I think, if we think about it, is we all know that the Torah calls the Eibush Haloi Hu Avicha Konecha, Hu Ascha Vayichaninecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. Hu Avicha, He's your Father. Now, if you think about it, Rabbi said, you have to think about this on a very practical level. If the Torah is calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Father, what does a father want from his kid? What does a person want, better said, not from his kid, but for his kid? What do you want your kid to be? Successful, great. What do you want?
Happy.
Every parent wants their kid to be happy. And a child's happiness is the parent's happiness. Right? It's clear. Hu avicha. Haloi hu avicha konecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be happy. Like a father wants his child to be happy. Now the truth is, every child at different stages has different happiness. Right? The kid parent comes home, he sees the child. I mean, I hate to use a grubber mushroom, the child passes wind, right? You smile, you see the little baby smiles, you know what happened, right? What happened? Yeah. Now, that's all very cute and everything's heavy. You laugh, you're so happy. The kid's happy, terrific, especially if he's having stomach problems, right? But if at the Shabbos table, the kid's having the 14, it's kind of gross. Yeah? He's happy. Yeah. Right? And if your 14-year-old likes to play tennis, right? You want him to enjoy to play tennis, right? But if he's 30 and he's unemployed and all he's doing is playing tennis, but he's happy, right? That's not the happiness you want for your kid, right? You want your kid to have some different level of happiness, right? So the truth is, what we have to understand is, I want to be the. What I'd like to start really start off with is to understand that Chazal and Chachomim understood that there are many different layers of happiness that a person can have in life. Okay. Now, if your child, if a person would know that there's a level of happiness that his child's not getting, right? You know, some people are happy. Some people, these are the people Thomas Jefferson was talking about, right? Some people are happy all their life. Sunday afternoon, with pork rinds on the couch, with a couple of beers, watching the NFL on CBS, and then, you know, the AFC on the AFC. I don't know what that is. The NFC is on CBS, and the AFC was on the NBC. I don't know, no more anymore? Okay. Okay, it's Fox. Changed. Fox. It's changed. Facts now. Fox. I'm dating myself. I'm sorry. But, you know, some people, that's it. That's the ultimate. That's life. You know, that's great. Right? But the truth is, you know, I remember when I was younger, I don't know about dating myself that much, you know, when you see, right, you see, I remember what they said today. I forgot who won the Super Bowl that year. What are you going to do now if you win the Super Bowl, right? I'm going to Disney World, right? What's the next step? What's the next pleasure? You hit that. This guy's doing more. There's something wrong here. There's something more, right? So we have to understand that in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the world, and he wants us to enjoy every flavor that the world has. In fact, it's fascinating, by the way. It's fascinating. It's fascinating that the Yerushalmi in Kedushin, at the end of Kedushin, says that a person, you know, you see, and this is, by the way, this Chazal teaches us one very, very basic thing. That the world's concept of spirituality is ridiculous. The world's concept of spirituality, Christianity's concept of spirituality is what? What's a spiritual thing? Look, the priests, right? What are they? Asceticism, right? Celibacy. They can't enjoy the world. There's no concept of enjoying the world. Not eschewing the world's pleasures is absolutely a-spiritual. It's the antithesis of spirituality. That's what the world thinks. Now let me tell you what Chazal say. What Chazal say about Yiddishkeit, about enjoyment is, Rabbi Chizkiyah of Chayim, B'Shem Rab, Osid, Rabbi, so listen, Osid Adam Litein Din V'Cheshben Al Kol Sheros Eino, V'Loi Ocha. Man is Osid Litein As Hadin. If there was some good fruit in this world that he didn't eat, that he didn't take, that he didn't take part of. Now that's an unbelievable thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world so that we should partake in the pleasure of this world, and if there's a pleasure in this world that we didn't partake in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take punishment on that person. Also leading to something, a person also leading to this for not having that, I don't know. So, pleasure is something that's very much a part of Yiddishkeit. In fact, it's the essence of life. So, what we have to understand is, what does the Eibishter want from us having pleasure? Now, on a very simple level, what does a parent want? A parent wants to see that their child enjoyed, that they gave their child, that child is partaking, especially they made something for them, right? Your mother makes soup for you. Your mother makes food for you, right? And you don't want to eat the food. Right? Or you don't eat the food. That's partially insulting to the mother. Forget about the fact that, I'm not talking about Karsatayev. Partially that you didn't partake in what they made. That's something that is there for you. And you didn't enjoy that? That's something you also believe in a said then. So I'd like to read to you from the Chinuch. Where the Chinuch discusses, I don't have to read it really, but where the Chinuch discusses the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, I'd like to get back to this. I hope we'll have time this time. But where the Chinuch describes the different levels and layers of Hanoh, and he describes them in the order of, it's the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, where he talks about Olam, Aisha, Bonim, and Kavod. Different layers of Jordan. There's the enjoyment. Now, the truth is, a person can go through life, and I failed to mention, by the way, the inspiration for this year is also, I'd like that this year should be L'Zeicha Nishmas, and hopefully if it has a Fayelis and inspires people, It should be a tayalas if you're a full shalemah for Yisrael Nayef Ben Hinda, a Rav, a guy in Yisrael Nayef Ben Hinda, Rav Nayef Weinberg, who I met with a few weeks ago, and I discussed a lot of this with him. And this is, you know, something that he inspired me to talk about these things. And it's just learning about this, learning more and delving into it and going into it has inspired me too, I must say. And it's something that it's a study, and the truth is, just hearing it once and not thinking about it, a person can think about it and see layers and layers of it. But the idea really is that a person can go through life, and I would tell you that 99% of people go through life not living. Not really living. And I'll quote to you, I found the Hamak Dova today. The Hamak Dova calls, says that a person was made a nefesh chaya. What does it mean to live? He says what it means to live is to enjoy the world. But what it means to live, to enjoy the world, a person has to enjoy the ultimate enjoyment. And we all know the person is Shilashan, Sarah Sushai Davaza, Atmimu, right? The Zbar, Lusami, takes a lot of them. Matavasu Balam. And for his person, says, Mamabotai, Magamosai, Koloilam. And what is the person doing here? Really, Lehisanei Gal Hashem. But Lehisanei Gal Hashem is the apex of all enjoyment. That's living. But everything that there is to enjoy in this world, and if we partake in it in the right way, that's really living. That's living. And there are people in life that are really not living. They're chasing after things that are never ending. It's like a hamster on one of those wheels. It's never getting anywhere. So the truth is that the concept really is that in the Torah we can find that the Torah we say in the last bracha, some shalom, we say it called Torah, is called what Torah? Torah Chaim. It teaches us. The Rambam writes in Chedmatavit the Chelik that the Torah is there to teach us how to get all pleasure out of life. The right way, the real pleasure. So the truth is, what we have to understand is that every level of pleasure that a person can have can A, bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but every level of pleasure that a person can have cannot be exchanged for the next level. I'll give you an example. What's the lowest level of pleasure in this world? Is that fruit that a person's going to see, that he's not going to take partake in? Physical pleasure. Physical hanah in this world is a pleasure. Most people chase and spend their lives chasing that physical pleasure, not being satisfied, not really being happy, thinking that it's going to get themselves happy. But that physical pleasure, okay, that physical pleasure is really the lowest level of pleasure. That's Aisha. Aisha can buy you anything. You have all the money in the world, you can get anything, right? You can get all the food in the world. You can get all the women in the world. You can get whatever you want. Whatever physical pleasure you want, you can have. Okay? You could fly everywhere, see everything, do everything, right? But that pleasure, okay? That pleasure, and to understand what the pleasure is, and I'd like to read to you from what the Aleph in Slavatka talks about. That pleasure can be lost, okay, if we focus on the wrong thing. And there are three things that I have to first be mapped to understand what I'm saying. The first thing is that a person has to realize that he has to be a connoisseur of pleasure. Right? A person could go, Marshall, you have a great steak. And the steak is perfectly done, and it has very, very, it's very succulent. It has a lot of juices to it, right? It's medium rare, maybe more medium than rare. It has red coming out of it. You can see it's mamish, unbelievable. And it has, you know, the ground pepper on top, and it has like some fried onions. I'm sorry, they're not refreshments here, I'm sorry. But they're fried onions on its grill to perfection, right? And there's a beer chilled perfectly right next to it. And you put it in front of your friend at the barbecue after the baseball game, right? After the baseball game, went swimming in front of the kids, and you tie everything, sit there, wow. And you put it in front of your friend, and what does he do? He wolfs the thing down in one spot, one thing, and he takes a chug at a beer, a bottle of beer. You think, I could have given you a hamburger for that. I could have given you a French fry.
You have to appreciate it. That's the first thing. You have to appreciate every taste of it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, what we have to know about pleasure, before we even talk about physical pleasure, is that a person has to realize that what everybody's looking for, in the end, is really not pleasure. Because they define pleasure incorrectly. Let me explain to you something. What's the opposite of pain? What's the opposite of pain? Shimmy, what's the opposite of pain? What's the opposite of pain? Absolutely.
No pain.
No pain. Comfort. What's people's picture of pleasure? Almost asleep. Now, if you fall asleep, you know, I missed the whole thing, right? So you can't really fall asleep. You gotta enjoy it. That's comfort. Comfort is not pleasure. Comfort is the absence of pain. Okay? You know what pain is? Pain is the price for pleasure. Pain is the exchange for pleasure. I'll prove it to you. You ask a mother, what's her biggest pleasure? What she tell you? Okay. You ask a mother, what's her greatest pain? Same kid. Right? Pain is the trade-off. Right? People will go through great pain for pleasure. To gain pleasure. Because pain is a trade-off for pleasure.
Pain, no gain.
That's right. That's right. The person wants to build and builds up their feel better. Right? He wants to have that great hanah at the end of looking good or whatever it is. He has to go through pain. No pain, no gain. People confuse comfort with pleasure. And the truth is that in life, what we're looking for is really pleasure. But, tifa geret, Rabbi said, and there's no way I'm going to cover this in 20 minutes, but tifa geret, in terms of pleasure, I told you we'd end up talking about physical pleasure in the whole month. But if a person really wants to know what is the counterfeit, there's a fake pleasure in this world. What's the fake pleasure in this world? The fake pleasure in this world is looking for pleasure or physical pleasure as an end. Lust is the counterfeit of physical pleasure. Physical pleasure in this world is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for us to recognize good, not only recognize him, to appreciate his world, like the mother that makes chicken soup that they want the child to have, at the taste. That's mamish. That's what the physical pleasure is there for. We think the goyim think physical pleasure is there. Oh, we can't touch it. No, taste it, enjoy it. In fact, if you read from the Alter Kislevach, this is an unbelievable thing. He talks about the reason for brachas, and I want you to know. Until I read this 2 days ago, I thought. All the time, what's the reason for bracha? You'd be makir all the time, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what he says? The reason for brachas is to be makir the toif. Make a bracha. Zoykev kefufim. I got up. Wow. Pakeh kefufim. My eyes open. Wow. Shakol yebetvari. Bech hamozim. To recognize. Wow, look what I just had. Stop, smell the coffee. There's an expression in the world. Stop, smell the coffee, right? Yeah, stop, smell the coffee. We live our lives. We don't live so much in the present. We live our lives looking, worrying, what's going to be? How do we get us brachas? And he says, I want to read this beautiful line. Ba'ifin kazeh, ha'koris malcha shemayim. Einenu oil. Of course, by the way, you understand, that once a person realizes, wow, this is great. Then he starts realizing, where did I get this from? That is the point of pleasure. That's the point of physical pleasure. When you go through each level, the point of this physical pleasure is not the pleasure. Is not to lust after it, a desire it for yourself, but to recognize how great it is. Live, enjoy, but live. Chai, nefesh chaya, to live. Listen to what he says. Hakoras malchus shemayim einenu oil. It's not a burden, umas. It's not a tax. Shechofes hakadosh baruch hu lahatul al adam. But the Eishtu wants to pain us. He wants to give us a burden. No,
Ki im drisha shel his boyness, the histakus b'chazdei Hashem v'tuvoi, hamemalon es kol chalol da'alma. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that fills the whole world. L'man yehene meyedias oishroi, to be nene from knowledge of how fortunate I am. The yis'anid l'chazdei Hashem, forgetting that it's from Hashem for a second, but just to have hanor from the chesed of Hashem. Hasoy v'moysoy. Uma Hashem Elokecha shoyel me'imcha. What does Hashem want from you? Ki im le'honais u'le'sanek mitub Hashem b'chazdei kol ha'yom. And now he says an unbelievable thing, Rabbi Yisrael. V'heyei hano'oschem avoydaschem. You know what your avoid is? Your hano'os is your avoyda. The fact that you nene, the fact that you go outside and say, wow, it's a beautiful day. Look at the sky, it's gorgeous. I can breathe, I'm alive. That's unbelievable. Davishta wants you to feel that. And that's your avoyda. V'tanugeichem mascholochem. Your hakora and you're feeling the good, tashlum hachesed. That's how you pay for the chesed. That's your payment for the chesed. So the Eibishta, even on the lowest level of physical pleasure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that you should enjoy. You should enjoy, but not just for the enjoyment. To enjoy and say, wow, look what the Eibishter gave me. That's a step of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a step in recognizing, wow. And if you look at the Rambam says an unbelievable thing. How do you come to the fear of God? What does the Rambam say? And how do you come to the love of God? You come to the fear of God by saying, you look at this greeting and you say, my gosh, who could make it that the sun comes up every day and the sun sets every day? Who could make it that the sky is so beautiful? Who could make it that the trees are so perfect, the grass is green, just the physical reality? You realize, my gosh, David's just so big and awesome, I'm afraid. Then you realize how much good you have from him. Miyahu oyavim. Immediately you love him, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the physical pleasure that a person can have in this world, the money, the whatever it is, that's all there, not as it ends to itself. That's lust. It's there to enjoy and to recognize the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let me ask you a question. Shlomi, I come up to you and I say, listen, Shlomi, you know, Shoshana Raisel, a nice girl, but you know, you could use a few extra dollars. I'll give you $50 million. I would take Shana, I want her. I'm going to take her to Israel. Maybe I'll take her to Zimbabwe. I'll take her to Zimbabwe. Nothing will happen to her. She'll be frum, religious. She'll marry a white guy. Okay? A good guy. You'll never hear from or see from her again. I'll give you $50 million. She means it's being taped and your wife's getting a copy. Alright, Shimmy, you let me give you Moshe Yoel. Right here? Okay. I could always count on Shimmy. That's why I didn't ask you. What do you say? No way. Right. Normal, most normal people. Right? Normal people. You want to get out early, right? Normal people never do it. Right? What does that mean? Shimmy. $50 million. He tested it. $50 million. Shimmy's nothing. That's what. $50 billion, Shimmy. Okay. Now we're talking. Oh, what do you mean? If I can, totally.
Yeah,
you
anything.
I hear you. You're right. I copied it. Copied it. Okay. Why is that? What's the challenge? What's the reason for that? The reason for that is that this is Pasha. There's something called Oisha, but then there's Bonim. There's love. There's a pleasure in life of loving something, of loving someone, of having someone to care for, and of having someone, right? It's not because you not necessarily like the child, right? You probably, if a person was waiting to have a child, right? And would like to, and is waiting to, doesn't even know the child, right? You're going to give up the child. Right? Normal people won't do that, right? Why not? Because there's a need for love, and there's a pleasure of love. And that pleasure is not the pshat, it's more pleasure, right? There's no pleasure in the physical world. There's no physical pleasure that a person would trade off for the pleasure of love. And that pleasure of love, okay, that pleasure of love is something that's necessary in life. It's necessary in life, and the truth is, Rabbi said, that we have, the world has a tremendous misconception as to what love truly is. Okay? The world's concept of love, and certainly the love in marriage, right? I was once talking to a Balabas, I'm not going to say who he was, he's not in the room, but he told me that he once asked a bunch of guys, I don't know if I should put this on tape, if they could, I guess this is about Yiddish guy, but if they would do it all over again, you know, would they, if there was no impunity, nothing, whatever, would they just, you know, get out of their marriage and go back to it? And there was a shocking percentage of people, perhaps some people are not shocked, that said, no problem. Okay, where do I sign? Okay, where do I sign? Now, the reason why that's true is because people have no clue what love is. People have no clue what marriage is. Love means commitment. Right? You ever hear of a person coming home saying, I'm going to have a family meeting, right? I'm going to have a family meeting. Get all the kids together. Listen, kids, you're really a pain in my neck. The kids next door are really cute. I'm going for them. Sorry. But nice knowing you. No. Right? But there have been people who come home and told that to their wives. Okay? What's the reason? For the same reason why you never give up your kid. Because you're totally committed to that. You're totally committed to that. When you're totally committed to something, no money in the world is going to make you take it. You better give it up. No hana in the world. A person has a kid, a person's kid is sick. They won't eat, they won't drink, they'll go through fire for that kid. Every pleasure in life, give up every penny in the world. Now, they don't know how to love that child, that's another question. They don't know how to handle it. But they're totally loved. They're totally committed to that child. What's the fake? What's fakeness in love? Fakeness in love is Cupid, infatuation. Falling in love with those things, it's a Rambam. It's a Rambam in Pirkei Avos. It's a Mishnah called Ava Tliya Bedover, Batal HaDover, Batal HaAv. Ava is something that's forever. Love is diamonds are forever. True love is forever. Because true love is true commitment. And there's no form of that. There's no form of anything physical that a person would give up for love. Then there's something on top of love, Rabbi. Because you know that a guy could have all the money in the world. A guy could have a loving wife and a wonderful family. But if he's not a success, if people don't see him as something, if he doesn't have some meaning in life, he has no self-respect. He's missing in his self-respect. There's another class, another level of pleasure. The other level of pleasure is meaning, purpose. I have to live for something, okay? I'll give you an example. I'm not going to answer me. Please don't answer. But the question is like this. Michelle, you're on a cruise liner, okay? You went on the cruise liner with Leon, your name is Leon Klinghoffer, okay? Okay? But you're not in a wheelchair, okay? There are 6,000 passengers on this cruise liner, okay? You don't know Leon Klinghoffer?
No, I do.
Wow, really?
Well, are we dating or something?
We're all.
Leon Klinghoffer was thrown off a thing by Arafat, by one of Arafat's people, when there was a hijacked cruise liner. The cruise liner is hijacked, okay? Moshe Leo, okay? Your name is not Moshe Leo, okay? You're on this cruise liner, and a guy walks over to you with a gun, and he says, and it's hijacked by Al-Aqsa, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, okay? And they walk over to you and say, listen, here's a submachine gun, okay? Make it an M16. Here's the key to every single room on this ship. You go into every room, and you shoot every single person dead on the ship, or I'll kill you. What do you do? 6,000 innocent people. Ready to do it? Don't answer. Or I'll kill you. I'm not talking about Yiddish yet. Would you do it? I don't think so. Most normal people wouldn't do it. Why not? Not only you. You'll never see your kids again. You'll never see your wife again. What? No, that's not true. And the truth is, the person who would say they would do it, First of all, you think you were dealt with? You shoot the first guy, and you see all the blood splatter, and you see he's dead. You really? You couldn't do it again. You wouldn't do it again. Okay, listen, you know, who was it? Was it the scarecrow that never heart? Or was it the tin man? It was the tin man. Charles, would you do it? You kill 6,000 innocent people to save your life? You mean he might be a murderer? Okay, it could be he's Jeffrey Dahmer.
But that's what he's saying, normal people.
Normal people.
That don't have.
What's the reason why a guy wouldn't do it? Because he could never live with himself if he did it. It's not worth living if he did that. That's right. But you want to know something? He's willing to give up his life. He's willing enough to give his life for what reason? To do the right thing. You have atheists who don't believe in God who are willing to give themselves up for a cause. They're willing to die for a cause. Where does that come from? That comes from the fact that there are people who are willing to give themselves up. And by the way, in Yiddishkeit, the fact is that if a person hasn't identified what he's willing to give himself up for, he hasn't begun to live. Because the truth is, there's something more than love and something more than physical pleasure. And that's a meaning and a cause. The desire to be good. Now, I want to tell you something. There are people who confuse this. Their cause, because they make their cause being a success. Not being good, but looking good. Ah, he's chashuv, he's good, he's this, he's that. Oh, he's got a lot of money. So then there are people who are going to amass a lot of money, not because they need the money, because everybody knows they have the money. Right? What does the rabbi do? What's the most painful thing for the rabbi? When he scores a hole in one on Yom Kippur, right? He can't tell anyone. Nobody knows. Right? That's the fake love of a cause. A cause is higher. A cause that you feel like you're doing something, you're accomplishing something. That's a tremendous love. That's a tremendous thing. In Yiddishkeit, that's Yiddishkeit. To give for Yiddishkeit, to give up for Yiddishkeit. Now there are people who go beg, borrow, and steal and do kol mina nevoa to be successful, to look good, that everybody should think they're great. I read a story in the Sefer Mechitzasim. The story went that Rabbi Yemei Bloch was going to collect for his father's yeshiva, and his father had given a his father's yeshiva, he didn't have a lot of money, but anyway, they went to some rav, and this rav was a Zionistic rav, a Tzionish rav, and he used to help them. And they pushed it, he kept the yeshiva afloat. Anyway, one time he went to him and they came to Rabbi Yemei, came to him and said, maybe you could help us. So he said, I can't help you, I'll tell you why. Because your father, it says, I read you, your father said, kaf, it's printed in a book, your father said all this against Zionism, against secular Zionism, religious Zionism, and it's terrible, I'm not going to help you. The only way I'll help you is if your father writes a letter saying, he never said these things. So now, in fact, Rabbi Yemei comes to his father, and his father says to him, he asks his father, he says, did you say these things? He said, no. It's okay, great, write a letter and say that you didn't, and the guy's going to help us. He says, the yeshiva's going to close without this. So he looks at him and says, I'm not writing a letter. Why not? He says, because I believe everything it says. I'm not going to lie. He says, yeah, but you didn't say them. Just write on a letter. You didn't write, say those things, and no problem. So he looked at his son and he said, do you think I know if I'm supposed to be a shoemaker or a yeshiva? I have no idea. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a yeshiva. But I know one thing. I have to be honest, I have to be straight. I have to do the right thing. And if I'm going to give the impression that I believe, that I don't believe those things that I said, I'm not going to do that. Now, 99.9, certainly Shimi would have written that letter. I would have written that letter, right? Because why? We think we have to be that thing. We have to be that success. That cause of being successful is the thing that's blinding us. And that's why you'll find people going to jail, find people lying, begging, and stealing, to keep that image of success, to keep that concept, that self. But that's fake self-worth. Real self-worth is doing the right thing. Is not writing that letter and saying, well, maybe I'll be a shoemaker, but I did the right thing. And that person has real self-worth. You know, the people who are trying to look good, they're into drug rehab. They're on top of the world. Everybody's looking at them. Why do you think that these people are overdosing on drugs? Because they have no self-worth. They realize that all this adulation of looking good, but who the heck are they? They're nothing. They're zero. They're F-S-I-N. That's the fakeness of this love, of this pleasure. The real pleasure is to be good. The real pleasure is to have real self-worth and realize I have a real cause and I'm doing something, I'm accomplishing something. But there's something even higher than that. Because you have a guy who's a soldier in an army, is he doing something? He's doing something. Would the general ever give up himself being a general to be a private? If you tell him you pay him $1 million, never. Why? Because the general has the ability to create. The ability to create is even higher than the ability to have a cause. You're writing a shtickle tire. You come out with that shtickle tire. Wow, I made that. I put that all together. That's unbelievable. A painter writes a painting. A person gives a lecture. Puts ideas together. The guy who says, just with a Super Bowl catch. What was the guy's name? Tyree. Just called it the catch, the snatch, the ball, the water, the play, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they named it. Did they name it anything?
Right.
Super Bowl. But what is it? He created. Wow. I put that together. The coach. Wow. What a high. Right? He will give anything for that. Right? They'll give it. They miss their families for months on end to create that. Right? Right? It ain't the money. When they're at that level, it ain't the money. It's good, but it ain't the money. Yeah? It's not even the cause. It's the creativity. And you know what real creativity is? Being like God. Because the Eibishter is the ultimate creator. The highest level of pleasure in this world, the second highest level, is to create. But when you create, now let me tell you something. Every level you go on, higher and higher and higher, it's harder to see the Eibishter. Because at the end of the day, for the physical pleasure, what do you do for it? You didn't do that much. Even the guy who makes a lot of money knows, come on. Yeah. Come on. It was your style. It was your thing. Come on. Yeah. Love. I'm attracted to this person. I love this person. I have this feeling. I have a relationship. That's already something between me and someone else. I don't know what God sits in that. Right? I have a cause. That's my thing. I'm doing it. It's hard as he goes. I created something? But the harder it is to see the Eibishter in every one of those things, if you do see the Eibishter in every one of those things, you're so close. If you realize you created the Eibishter, you created the thing, and the Eibishter gave you that koyach, you know what that does? That brings you to the highest level. And the highest level is l'hisani al Hashem. Hashem wants us to feel every one of these pleasures. Hashem wants us to feel the physical pleasure. And the physical pleasure, to enjoy it. And of course to come close to Him through it. To have a relationship with a wife. To have a relationship with children. To be mates to them. To have a relationship to realize, to have a helper. You know what it is? And I want to tell you something. It could take you years. It could take a person years. And I'm not ashamed to say it. But my relationship with my wife, it's like a different dimension 15, 20 years later. I don't know how many years it's 18 and a half. But Pasha, to realize that you're going to a goal, and Eivishter was Matsio and Messiah. And you're together in the goal, and you have feelings for each other, and you want to be mahan each other. It's unbelievable. And you have a cause, and you're doing something. Wow. You can create something. Wow. And it's all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first 8 lines in the Mesilas Yesharim. The tachlis of the world is that we should be Mesanei Hashem. That we should enjoy and have pleasure. The Eibishter wants us to know that, and we know that through the Torah. If you had a kid, and all he was doing was eating steak, wouldn't you want to know that there's something called love? If all he had was steak and love, wouldn't you want to know that there's something called a cause? If all he had was steak, love, and a cause, wouldn't you want to have the ability to create? And if you had all that, wouldn't you want to have the ability to connect to the Eibishter? To connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every part of pleasure in the world is there for us to be able to connect to the Eibishter. That's what He wants for us. Like a father wants for their child. And if
we realize that, the Eibishter is Haloi Hu Avicha Kanecha. The Eibishter is our Father. If we realize that, our tefillah is different. Our pleasure is different. Our tefillah becomes a pleasure. You ever go into your father? Say, Dad, I need your help. He talks to you, wants to talk to you. What do you need? What can I do for you? It's a pleasure, though. It's a pleasure. You have a father to rely on. A father to go to. A father to connect to. That's what the Eibishter wants. The Eibishter wants us to realize the Tov. And when we enjoy the greatest Tov, that really is the mitzvah. And that's what the mitzvah, the heading of this mitzvah in Chinuch is. Mitzvah's Avas Hashem. Then a person comes to the love. And a person sees the chesed. It's really the Rabbah. A person sees all the chesed the Eibishter did for him and does for him. He can't help but love the Eibishter. And loving the Eibishter, in words, I just read one line, Marish, three words from the Chinuch. V'nis'aneg b'hasagosoy. Enjoy in conceiving of Hashem. B'tachlis ha'oimek. That is the tachlis ha'oimek. No, wait a second. The tachlis ha'oimek, run from it. The tachlis ha'oimek is knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tachlis ha'zoicha. To really have that Quran, live with it every day.